I encourage all of you this morning, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings. I would like to ask you to pay very special attention this morning and please pray that God will help us as we look at God's Word today. I'll be reading several passages of Scripture. I encourage you to turn and pray fervently that God will help you to concentrate on every single passage of Scripture that we look at. There are some very, very important lessons and beautiful teachings from God's Word, but if you don't stay with me, you're going to miss a lot of very important truths. So please pray that God will help us as we study His Holy Word this morning. We begin by looking at 2 Kings chapter 20. Before we begin to endeavor to read from the Word of God, I would ask you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have when we feel so weak. We're thankful that we can come before Thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And we know that Thy grace is sufficient for us. And we thank You, Lord, for the strength and the power that we feel that in our weakness that Your strength is made perfect. And we pray that You would lift us up this day, that You would help us to walk about Zion, that You would plant our feet on heaven's tableland, that You would bless us, Lord, to feed from the Master's table. We pray that You would feed us with manna from on high. We would be able to hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy Word, that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray, Lord, that we might have prepared our hearts to receive Thy Word, and we pray that You would bless us to be very careful to give attention to Thy Word this morning, that Thou would bless us to hear and understand Thy Word and to be doers of Thy Word. We beg Thy blessings upon all those that are sick and afflicted and those who have special burdens and problems. We know that there are many that need You in a special way this day. We pray that You would bless each of them. Bless all of us, Lord, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We're thankful we have a Heavenly Father that loves us beyond any other love that we've ever known in this world. We're thankful that though we have mothers and fathers that have loved us, that we have wives and all the different kinds of relationships that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we love each other. And yet, Lord, Your love is greater than all of those loves combined. So thank You for loving us. Thank You for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We thank You, Lord, that we know that heaven is real, and heaven is happy, that one day we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. But we're thankful also that while we live here in this world, that we have the privilege to have You come down and dwell with us, to be able to feel Your presence in our hearts and minds and souls, the privilege to be in the kingdom of heaven, the privilege to commune with Thee as friend with friend, and the privilege to be a part of Thy church and Thy kingdom in the earth. Bless us now and help us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read now from 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now Hezekiah was sick right here. Hezekiah knew that he was dying. Hezekiah felt that he was dying. And then in the middle of all of that, God sent Isaiah to Hezekiah to confirm, "Thou shalt die and not live." He was told, "Your life is about to come to an end." Verse 2 says, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass before Isaiah, that is before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. The Word of God here is telling us about a time in the life of Isaiah when he knew he was very sick and he knew he was going to die. And then the prophet of God, Isaiah, came and said, thou shalt die and not live. And what did Hezekiah do when he got that message, when he knew that he was facing a problem that he could not handle and he didn't know what to do? What did he do in verse 2? Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I want to think about, especially this second verse, that in the middle of this situation where Hezekiah knew that he was going to die, God had confirmed that he was going to die, I want you to watch what Hezekiah did. When he had a problem that was too big, as we think about Hezekiah facing his problem, I want all of you this morning to think about how we have problems in our lives that are too big for us to be able to handle. We face problems and we have troubles and we don't know what to do. And yet, as King Jehoshaphat said on one occasion, we don't have any might, neither know we what to do. Nevertheless, our eyes are upon thee. That is, we're going to look to God, and that's what Hezekiah did. I want you to notice that the scripture says here that Hezekiah, the first thing it says is, he turned his face to the wall. And that's the main thought that's on my heart, is that, have you ever heard the expression, Brother Ken, I'm sure you have, that you've got your back to the what? Got your back to the wall. I really believe that that saying comes from this verse of scripture right here. You might say, well, this scripture doesn't say he had his back to the wall. It says he had his face to the wall. I want you to think about what the scripture says is that he turned his face to the wall. Now, his back had to have been against the wall in order for him to turn his face to the wall. And the point I want to get across, first of all, is that there will be many times that you're going to have your back against the wall. What does that expression mean? That expression means you don't know what to do, you don't have anywhere to turn, you've backed up as far as you can, and you're facing something you don't know what to do with, and your back is against the wall. What do we need to do when our back is against the wall? We need to do the same thing that Hezekiah did. He turned his face to the wall. And when he turned his face to the wall, he then began to pray unto the Lord. I want to first of all mention that I think we need to face the wall. That is, that when there are walls before us, when there are problems that we have, instead of running from those problems, instead of always trying to get away from those problems, instead of taking medicine and all kinds of drugs to try to cover up the problem, we need to face the problem. And so he turned his face to the wall, he faced the problem. How many people do you know that when they have troubles and problems, instead of facing those problems, they try, instead of turning their face and looking at the problem and dealing with the problem? How many times do doctors want to give you medication? When someone dies, aren't there many times that doctors just want to give you a lot of medication to help you live through that death of that loved one? Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever seen people that when they lost a loved one, that the doctors came and said, here, we want you to take this medicine to help you face this problem? Well, that's not always the solution, brethren. The solution that Hezekiah had was he turned and he faced the problem, he faced the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. All through the scriptures, there are walls. What does the word wall have reference to? Are there walls that are good for us? Are there walls that are for our protection? We have walls in this building this morning. What's the function right now? What's the function of the walls of this building? What are the walls doing that are for our good? Well, one thing the wall is doing right now, it's keeping either the hot air out or the cold air out, and it's keeping the temperature at a good, comfortable, hopefully, for most people anyway. There's some that are too hot, some that are too cold. But the walls typically are for protection, aren't they? We often think of walls that are for protection and hedges around us. But there are other walls that are obstacles in our pathway. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, is how that walls or obstacles that are in our lives, troubles that we have, that those walls, if we'll face those troubles, if we'll look at those troubles, if we'll confront those troubles by looking to God and praying unto the Lord, if we'll turn our face to the wall and turn our eyes unto the Lord, God will help us in those walls that we face. As you go through the Scriptures, you find a number of different expressions when the people of God faced walls. You find a lot of different ways that God helped them to get past those obstacles. One thing that the Word of God says is in the book of Ezekiel, it says that every wall shall be broken down. In other words, when you face walls, what does God sometimes do? What does He do to the wall? He just breaks the wall down, doesn't He? For example, can you remember any place in the Scriptures where literally that the people of God faced some walls and God tore the walls down? What did God do at Jericho? When the children of Israel came to the city of Jericho, one of the main objections the children of Israel had to going into the land of Canaan is that there were giants in the land, and there were what? Great walled cities. They were afraid to go into the land of Canaan because they were afraid to face those walls. They thought they couldn't get over the walls. So what did they do? God told them when they got to that first city, Jericho, that had great walls around it, just like had been described, God told them to march around that city. There were to be the soldiers that were to march around. There were to be seven priests that were to carry trumpets. There were seven priests. Each priest had one trumpet. Seven priests and seven trumpets. And then there were the priests that carried the Ark of the Covenant. And they marched around that city one day. For 6 days, each day, they walked around that city. And they just carried their trumpets, and they were commanded of God, don't say a word. Nobody talked for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they were told to march around that city 7 times on the seventh day. And then the priests were to blow those seven trumpets, and all the people were to shout. Does that sound like a good battle plan? Well, I wouldn't want to have been a part of that army. Except for the fact that I know what the outcome was. But I want you to think about the tremendous amount of faith those people had to get out there and bring themselves to the attention of the enemy by marching around every day. And then on that seventh day, when the trumpet sounded, the people all shouted. And what happened? God brought the walls down. The walls of Jericho came down, and the children of Israel marched in, and they had victory over Jericho. The point is, there were walls in front of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel did what Hezekiah did. They faced the walls. Instead of running, they faced the walls, and God broke the walls down. Sometimes when you have troubles in your lives, sometimes what will God do? Sometimes He'll break them down. That's right, Sister Nellie. Sometimes God will just break those walls down. Other times, the Word of God says, for example, in Joel chapter 2 and verse 7, the Word of God says that when we face walls, sometimes, and here's what happened in Joel 2:7, they climbed the wall. Let me get the expression. They climbed the wall like men of war. I want you to think about that. Brother Kelvin, have you ever climbed a wall in basic training? Climb wall, something that soldiers learn to do. Have you ever climbed a war in any battle? Is there any soldier here that's ever climbed a war in any battle? Anybody that's ever been in a war? We don't climb walls today. Do you have any idea why, though we don't climb walls, why they still have those fake walls, those imaginary walls, those, well, they're real walls, but they have men climbing over those walls. Why are they always climbing over those walls in basic training? Well, it's to teach them to be strong, but it's also going way back to the fact that in all military battles early in history, they all had to climb over walls. And so they were training them to climb over walls. But I think that even psychologically, it's teaching people to climb over that wall and to learn to get over that wall. And so it is that sometimes in the Bible, the Word of God says God tears the walls down. He makes the walls fall down. There are other times that God says, now you've got to climb over the wall like a soldier. And then there are other times the Word of God says that David said, in 2 Samuel chapter 20, the Word of God says that David says, by my God, I have what? You know the scripture. By my God, I have leaped over the wall. I want you to think about that. All of those are different expressions, but they're all talking about literal things that happen. They're also talking about how all of that applies spiritually to our lives. Did you know that everything that's literal in the Old Testament, they all have meaning for us today in our lives? All of the walls that you want to go back, and the word wall is mentioned probably 100 times in the Bible. Wall and walls are over 100 times. And all of those walls, most all of them are literal walls, but they all have spiritual lessons for us in our lives today. When Hezekiah was told, thou shalt die and not live, what was his response? What did he do? What's the first thing he did? He turned his what? He turned his face to the what?
Wall.
And then he what? He prayed unto the Lord. When you have problems in your life, what's the first thing you need to do? Well, first thing, turn your face to the wall. Now, I know you can say, well, he was turning away from the problem. I'm looking at it a different. I'm looking at the wall as being the problem. You've got your back against the wall. You don't know what to do. Face the wall. Face the problem. For example, when Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage and they came to the Red Sea. Now, what was toward the Red Sea? Their backs were to the Red Sea. When they got there, they turned around. What were they looking at? When they got to the Red Sea, what were they looking at? They were looking at the Egyptian army. I'm talking about after they got to the Red Sea, they saw they couldn't go any further there. They turned their back and they looked back. What did they see behind them? They saw the Egyptian army coming. Their backs were against the wall. What did they then do? They turned their face toward the water. They turned their face toward the wall, and that object that was keeping them from continuing to run. And they, as they prayed to the Lord, what did God tell Moses to do? Lift up his staff, and what happened? Or the rod. What happened to that water? God parted the water. And you know what was on each side of the children of Israel? There was a great wall of water on each side of the children of Israel. And the scripture says they marched through on dry ground. And I'm telling you, that wall that had been an obstacle in their life, that wall became a great blessing in their life, because after they marched through on dry ground, what did that wall of water do to the Egyptians? The walls fell down. God removed those restraining walls. And the water fell on the Egyptians, and the Egyptians died. The enemy was brought to nothing by the power of God. I thank God, listen, brethren, I thank God that though we have many walls to face in our lives, I thank God that His power and His grace is sufficient, no matter how big the walls are, no matter how big your problems are, no matter how big your troubles are, no matter how big the obstacle comes in your life. Listen, you need to face it, but you can't face it by yourself, can you? No. Turn your face to the wall, but then do what? Pray unto the Lord. Turn your face to the wall and pray unto the Lord. When Joshua got to the Jordan River, just before they went into the land of Canaan, once again, what did they do? They had their back to the wall. They couldn't go in. They couldn't cross the river. Well, what did they do? They turned and faced the wall. They faced the Jordan River. And then the priests began to lead the people of Israel across that Jordan River. And as the soles of their feet crossed that Jordan River, the waters began to pile up. And it became a wall on their side. I'm telling you, brethren, when you face the walls, the power of God, if you face the wall and pray unto the Lord, the power of God will come upon you, and that wall can be broken down, or it can be destroyed, or you can climb over the wall, or you can leap over the wall. Those are some of the expressions found in the Word of God. We have a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Does the devil have some big walls ready to put in your life? Does the devil have some big walls in your life? Do you have some problems that you're facing that you feel like, I just can't do it? Just can't stand it. Sometimes it's physical sickness. Let me tell you something else that you're all going to be facing, by the way. That's some major financial trouble. Our nation is headed for major financial trouble. You're going to see a wall like you've never seen before, financially and economically. Our nation is going to face that wall. And there is no way, brethren, there is absolutely no way that you're going to be able to face the problems we're facing as a nation unless you remember what God's Word says right here. Every one of us, we better get on our knees and we better pray fervently, because we're headed for a wall as a nation like we have never seen before. The Depression was nothing compared to what we're facing as a nation today. I'm not talking about a recession. I'm not talking about a depression. I'm talking about a wall you cannot deal with. Do you know why we're going to face such a wall in America today? Why is that wall going to be there? Listen, brethren, when God brings His judgment on our land because of our rebellion against God, you want to fight against the Lord? Or do you want to turn your face to the wall and pray unto the Lord? I encourage all of you, please, get close to God. Face the walls in your life. Go with me in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's stop in Isaiah. Because this is one of the most beautiful passages in all the Bible. Listen, please. Please look. If you don't turn to Isaiah, you're going to miss something beautiful. It's for your good and God's glory that we look at what God's Word has to say. Look at Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 13. How many of you feel a little depressed by what I'm trying to preach about this morning? How many of you feel a little depressed? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, a few. How many of you feel real good about the wall? Okay, one. Well, Kylie, why in the world do you feel good about the wall? Tell me why you feel good. You don't know? All right, listen to what the Bible says. Because the Bible says that God's faithful children don't have to worry about these walls. Listen carefully. I want you to follow this. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 13. Does it mean you won't have any walls? Doesn't mean that at all. What it means is God will be with you and either tear those walls down or give you the strength and grace to climb over the walls or give you the grace to leap over the wall. Now, Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 13, I want you to hear what the Word of God says, and it's going to come right back to this subject of walls, but it begins in verse 13 and says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy on His," what? On His afflicted. But Zion said, I want you to hear what the people of God said now they're in the middle of this trouble. But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like what Zion said? Have you ever felt like what Israel said? "The Lord's forsaken me." Have you ever had problems and you felt like God doesn't care? Have you ever felt that way? Some of you started saying no. I'm telling you, I have many times in my life. I've been there where I faced a wall and I didn't know what to do, and I felt like God had forsaken me. And that's what Zion said here. Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Here's what God says in verse 15. God says, can a woman forget her sucking child? You might say, how many of you would say that's impossible for a woman to forget her sucking child? Well, here's what God said. Can a woman forget her sucking child? In other words, it's almost impossible to imagine that could happen. He says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. There are some women that turn their back on their children. Yea, they may forget. And then what does God say? What does God say? Yet will I not forget. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying you take the love of a mother for her child, and it is possible that a mother might turn her back on her child. But I'm telling you, God says even though a few mothers might turn their back on their child, he says, my love for my people is greater than a mother's love for her child. Isn't that hard to imagine? Isn't that hard to imagine? A love greater than a mother's love, a love greater than a father's love. That's the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. God says, I'll never forget thee. Now listen to verse 16. Let me ask you this question. In this passage that I'm reading to you, do you think Israel was having a good time or a bad time? Bad time. Do you think they were having troubles? Isn't that the reason they thought God had forsaken them? Because they were facing so many troubles and problems and felt like God just doesn't care. Listen to verse 16. What did he tell them to do in verse 13, what did he tell them to do in the middle of all their troubles? What did he tell them to do? How many of you ever had troubles and called me or I found about the troubles and what I tell you to do? Do you know why I tell you to do that? Because that's what God's Word says to do. When you have troubles, sing. And so he told them in the beginning here, sing. Now come down to verse 16. God says to his people, they're in the middle of all these troubles. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon my palms, the palms of my hands. Thy walls are what? What does that mean? When God says to his people, they're in the middle of all their trouble and are bemoaning their problems and saying, God doesn't care, God's forgotten me. What does God return and respond to them and say? He says, thy walls are continually before me. What's he saying? I see your trouble. I see your problems. I know what you're going through. Don't you ever let the devil deceive you into thinking God doesn't know the burden of your, and God doesn't care about you, and God's forgotten you. That's a lie from the devil. The fact, the truth, God's Word says, I've graven you on my hands. I saw a girl yesterday, had her name and a boy's name on her hand. Just, it wasn't tattooed on there, but had it written on there. You ever seen that? I know a preacher that used to put his name and his girlfriend's name on his hand. Now listen, here's what God did. God says, I have graven you on my hand. Your names are engraved on God's hand. And this isn't with some kind of little wash-off tattoo. This is not a tattoo like you might put on somebody today that ought not to be put on people. This is a permanent what? Engraving on God's hand. You're engraved on his hand. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually. What's he saying there? Thy walls are continually before me.
Always
I
know. Trouble.
I know all of it. Say it again.
Always having trouble.
Okay. I know you're always having trouble. I know you've got, does he say, thy wall, singular, thy wall. Back there in 2 Kings chapter 20, when we read, or I believe it was chapter 20, when we read about Hezekiah, how many walls did he face right then? Well, I'm not going to get into that. There was one main wall, wasn't there? What was the main wall he was facing right then? The main wall is he had just been told, well, he was sick and he'd been told, you're going to die. That's a big wall. But he had a lot of other walls, and I don't get into all that. You go back and read the previous chapter, and you'll find he had a lot of other walls, but one was he was about to die. Now sometimes, well, we have a lot of walls in our life. But what does God say here? Thy walls are continually before me. I know your problems. Turn your face to the wall and pray unto the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing that Hezekiah did? turned his face to the Lord. He looked right square. Didn't run from it. Just looked right at the problem and prayed unto the Lord. Reminds me of David going out against the lion and the bear, doesn't it? Did David, when the lion and the bear came out against those little sheep, what did David do? Did he run from the lion and the bear? What did David do? He killed them. The Word of God says that David killed the lion and he killed the bear. You know how he did that? He turned his face to the lion, turned his face to the bear. And there's something else he did besides turning his face to those walls. What else did he do? And prayed unto the Lord. And then when he got against that giant, was that giant another wall in David's life? Do you face some giant problems in your life? Listen, brethren, if you'll do what David did, you go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 17, and you follow that verse by verse, and you'll see that David did the same thing Hezekiah did. That David turned his face to the wall. He faced that giant, and he told the giant, "You come to me with your sword and your spear and your armor bearer, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And you know who gave David a victory over that wall? Now let me ask you, did he leap over the wall, climb the wall, or did the wall come falling down? The wall, what did he do? He took that, he carried 5 smooth stones with him and a sling, and he slung that stone and hit the giant right in the forehead. And what does the Word of God say that giant did? Fell down. That was a big wall, wasn't it? Could David have beat that wall without God's help? Absolutely not. Can you beat your problems? Can you get victorious over your problems without God's help? You can't do it. You cannot win the battle. If you fight it by yourself, if you don't look to the Lord, you will not win this battle. Do you have some big jobs in your life? Big things that you face? You know, I want you to turn very quickly. Turn to Nehemiah. I want you to look at this wall. Now, they're building a wall, but it was a big wall that was before them. Back up in your Bibles to Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, I'm going to give you just a minute to get there because it's very, very important that you look at these scriptures. This will be the last passage I go to, but I want you to turn and look at Nehemiah beginning in chapter 4. I want you to go home and read chapters 4, 5, and 6. But I want you to look and think about these walls. Now, they were building a wall. Why? Why was Nehemiah and the children of Israel, why were they building these walls around Jerusalem? Was it for their protection? Yes, it was for their protection. The walls they were building were for their protection, but was it a job to build those walls? Do you need to build some walls around your families? Are there some things you need to shut out of your home? Are there some things you need to say cannot come in this home? They're not allowed in this home. Well, in order for that to happen, you've got to put some walls around your house. God isn't going to build those walls. You have to build those walls. Does this church... We don't need these natural walls. We'd like to have them, and they're fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But I'm telling you, this church can get along fine without the natural walls, but we can't get along without the walls of God around the body of His people. If God removes the walls, if He removes the hedge, this church will fall. This building can be destroyed without the church being affected in any way. But if God removes His walls from around the church will fall down. It's all over. The enemy will come in and destroy. You go home and read Isaiah chapters 5 and 6, and you'll see that clearly. Now listen to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. What are we talking about? We're talking about facing a wall. Now what are the children of Israel doing here in Nehemiah chapter 4? They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. I want you to come down to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It came to pass that when Sanballat, that's an enemy, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, now were they facing the wall? I'm talking about the children of Israel facing the wall? Yes. Was that an obstacle? The wall wasn't an obstacle to them right then. It was the building of the wall that was an obstacle. Do you understand? It's a hard job they had to do. He was wroth, Sanballat was wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Have you ever been mocked when you tried to do what was right? Have you ever tried to build the walls around your family that you needed to build around your family and you were mocked for trying to build those walls? Have you ever said, my family is not going to participate in this. I'm not going to participate in this. Have you ever tried to build those walls around your own life and say, set up some parameters and say, this will not be allowed? You know what will happen every time an individual, a family, or a church, or a nation says, this is not allowed. If we follow the laws of God, we have to say, these are walls that God set up, and we will not allow anything that God disallows. When you build those walls, you know what's going to happen? Without exception, you will be mocked. Verse 2 says, and he spake before the brethren, and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? I want you to come down to verse 4. After all this was being said, verse 4, here's what would you do? What would you do if your enemies are mocking you? What do you want to do sometimes? Well, what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah, verse 4, Nehemiah 4:4 says that Nehemiah prayed. Well, let me read verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, this is Tobiah and Sanballat, they're mocking the Jews, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. In other words, a little fox can run up this wall, and he'll just make it fall down. Fox is very light-footed. You'd think, well now, if a wall can't even support a fox, it's no kind of wall. That's the kind of mocking they're doing. Verse 4, here's what Nehemiah did. He says, hear, O our God. What was the wall right here? What was the wall he's facing right here that Nehemiah was facing? Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Brother Mike. It's not just the building of this wall, not just the job he had before him, but it was the wall of Sanballat mocking him, trying to interfere with him. And so he says in verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The Word of God just keeps talking about how everyone was doing his work. I want you to come down to verse... Well, go down to chapter 6. Go down to chapter 6. I want you to go home and read the first three verses. That's where Sanballat said, come down from the wall. Sanballat said, come down from the wall. Into the plain of, do any of you remember the name of that plain? Come down into the plain of what? Oh no. Come down, and what did Nehemiah say? Oh no, I will not go down. I'll not stop. Come down to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished. Listen, so the wall was finished. Did they complete their task? So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of the Lord. You hear the reason the enemy were so discouraged? Why? Because they heard that this work was of the Lord. What happened? The people of God faced the wall, they prayed to the Lord. The Lord gave them victory, and the enemies even knew the work these people are doing is of the Lord. Are you ever afraid because of the walls you face? Are you ever afraid because of the problems you have in your life? You ever afraid? Listen, the Word of God says, fear not, for I am with thee. The Word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you face the walls that you have to face and I have to face every day of our lives, remember, God says, thy walls are continually before me. And remember this. Remember that if you'll face the wall, turn your face to the wall, and pray unto the Lord will help you by either helping you jump over the wall, climb over the wall, or break down the wall. May God help us to face the walls in our lives. By God's grace is my prayer for Christ's sake.